And I'm blessed. Open your Bibles. Did I tell you already? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the Lord just spoke to my heart about this during the week. And I've been trying to get some, felt like the Lord speaking to my heart, writing a few things down through the week. I trust it'll be a help to you. And again, welcome to all our friends on the internet. And I know Brother shared with you a while ago, but I do want you to be praying for Brother Ricky Carden and his family. His dad did pass away this morning. Sheila, his wife, went with us on the tour with the bus from Reidsville. But we got back yesterday and he passed away sometime very early this morning. And so you remember to pray for Brother Ricky, his sister and his mom and all the family, the grandchildren. Ask God's blessing on them. I want to read just one verse here this morning in the passage of Scripture that I'm going to share with you. Paul is talking, of course, to the church, the Christians in Rome. And let me read verse 26 before I read down into verse 28. I want to begin with verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You ever been to where you couldn't pray? You didn't know what to say, how to say it or anything? And I've been there. There's been times that our heart has been so heavy and so burdened over something. And when I kneel to pray, I just seem like nothing won't come out. I just sometimes just say, oh, Lord, you know, you've been there. But thank God for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in every one of us that helps us when we pray. And He helps with making requests known unto God, unto the Father about what we need. And I'm thankful for that. And read on, if you will, please, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the man of a mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now this verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And that'll be our text this morning. Would you bow with me for prayer, Father? I want to thank you for this good number here in the building this morning, for those that I may not know or we may not know of that they're sick because they're not here today. But God, I pray your blessing on them. We do ask your blessing on Brother Ron Blanchard again and all of Brother Ricky's family and the death of his dad. Lord, for others of our church family, pray for Floyd and Sharon this morning and ask God's blessing on them. And Lord, we know that Sister Joyce and Jennifer both still have a long road ahead, but we ask your blessing on them. And do bless Paul and Joyce today. And then, Lord, we want to ask your blessing on Mitchell and Sylvia once again. Thank you for them. And God, I pray again that you would bless all of our shut-ins and then all of our church family. Now, Lord, help us. Lord, I'm blessed to be able to bow before you this morning and confess that there's no good thing in me. But God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would speak. Lord, help us this morning. Give us your anointing and power. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I keep thinking of things I should have mentioned to you. I have a wonderful letter from the Relay for Life. You gave very generously to that for Cancer Fund. And I know you've been praying for David Penny, who had surgery this past week. Ask God's blessing on him, continue about that. But thank you for helping with the Relay for Life and the Cancer Fund. Ask God's blessing on all those who are a part of that, and thank the Lord for them. At the close of the service this morning, I want us to take a special love offering for Brother Tim and Wendy. They got an anniversary coming up. They've been with us now about 15, 16 years. Do all the drama ministries and work with the youth choirs and so many things. He helps me tremendously with other things, preaching, visiting. Also pray for Brother Justin this morning. He's going through quite a battle, he and Heather. I'm thankful for them. But at close of service this morning, I want us to be a blessing to Tim and Wendy. They're going to do an anniversary trip in a couple of weeks. And I want you to be a part of that and help them. If you want to give to them directly, that's fine. If you want to give them a card for their anniversary, please do that. And if you've forgotten to be ready this morning to give, we've got a little while yet. Anytime any will turn anything in through the church, or if you want to give it to them directly in the next couple of weeks, please do that. But back to our text. Let me read it to you one more time this morning. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This is the favorite verse of Dr. Lee Robertson. I was blessed to be able to go to Tennessee Temple Schools only for 1 year. I'd gone 2 years here to Lewisburg Junior College and then transferred up there, and then from there down to a Bible college in Florida where I graduated frustrated, but at any rate, I'm thankful for the blessing of the Lord. But Dr. Lee Robertson, this was his favorite verse. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, those who are called according to His purpose. And I think I know why he chose this verse. He and his wife had a beautiful young daughter who tragically died. And it was a devastating blow to that great pastor of that great church and president of Tennessee Temple Schools. And that was in his very earlier part of his life. But it made an impact in his life. But it did what it said in this passage. It worked together for good. Nobody wants to have a child to die. And nobody wants to have a mom or dad or husband or wife to die. But the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I remember back a good many years ago now, Brother Tom Gillen was preaching for us, and he said he preached up in Alaska. And he stayed in the home of some folks up there who lived there in Alaska and had been there for many, many years and had a large family. He said, but every morning, that woman, a mother in the home, would make biscuits and cook for that whole crowd that was there. And he said he was sitting in the kitchen one morning and she had flour and she had buttermilk and she had lard. And he said he watched those kids. He said some of them come running through there and they'd scoop a little bit of flour and put it in their mouth and run off. And he thought I'd gag to death with that. And then he said some of them even came in there and raked their hands in the lard and took a little taste of lard and took off with that. He said, I hate that. And then somebody came in and poured him a little bit of buttermilk. And he said, I cannot stand buttermilk. That's the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life. I love it, by the way. But he said, I don't care for anything hardly that's in that. But when that woman mixed them together and baked them in the oven, he said it was like heaven on earth. Those things that he did not like mixed together, put under some heat in an oven, turned out to be a blessing to his heart and life. That was his explanation of Romans 8:28, where it says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The reason I'm preaching on this morning, when Lee and I were talking back and forth, today would have been Brother Bobby's 91st birthday. Bobby had a lot of things he'd say and little phrases. But the one I remember most about Brother Bobby was this. He said, it's just a thing. He had a lot of sickness. He had more kidney stones. He could have built a wall here across the road at the store over there with the kidney stones that he had. He had the most kidney stones any man I ever seen. And the normal pain pills wouldn't touch it. But anyhow, he had it, and he'd come in and he'd be grimacing a little bit. I said, you got a kidney stone? He said, I got a big one. He said, but it's just a thing. It's just a thing. He had a lot of other things happen in his life, tragic things. But he'd say, it's just a thing, just a thing. You've heard of packing people in ice because of high fevers. Bobby's the only person I ever actually saw that. Lee and I went in hospital, Wake Hospital, I believe it was in Wake, may have been Rex. But when we went in where he was at in intensive care, they had him in like a blow-up bathtub on the bed, and he was literally packed in ice. I stood there and I held Ms. Lee's hand as we prayed, and I said, I don't know that I didn't say it to her, but I said, I don't think I'll ever see him back at church. But we did. That was quite a few years ago. And I said, Brother Bobby, that was rough. He said, it's just a thing. It was just a thing. Went through it. It's just a thing. Boy, that's got in my heart this morning that you're going to have some things in your life. You'll have some terrifying things that come in your life. Wouldn't have ever thought it. You'll have some testing things to come in your life. You'll have some trying things to come into your life. You'll have some taxing things to come into your life that'll carry you to the very limit of your faith and your emotional strength. And it's just about everybody in this room, I'm going to say everybody at some point in time, you're going to have some of those times of testing, some times of trial, some terrifying things. Thank God there will be some thankful things. Things will come in your life that are unexpected, unexplainable, even unbearable, and certainly unplanned. But you're all going to have it. The first thing I want to draw from this little passage of Scripture this morning is things will happen. You're going to have them in your life. Right now, everything's going great. Right now, everything's fine with you and your family. But tomorrow, it may be the greatest tragedy in your life that you've ever experienced. It may be an unexpected diagnosis from the doctor. It may be an accident. It may be some unexpected financial reversal. But you're going to have them. You may go to bed tonight well and healthy. Wake up in the morning and you've got the Carolina crud. I promise you it's going to last 3.5 weeks. I'm just now getting over to have 3.5 weeks. But things are going to happen in your life. Things are coming. And I just want you to know that things do happen. Our Lord said, in this world you will have tribulation. Now, He said that about every one of us, every believer, everybody in this building, you will experience some tribulation in your life. You're going to have times like that, unexpected. Just a couple of weeks ago, Richard Carton, Brother Ricky's daddy, 72 years old, I believe, healthy as a horse, happy man. He loved to joke and laugh and carry on. Hardworking man, provided well for his family, very active in his local church and everything. He had a brain aneurysm to rupture in his head. And now for these last several days, Thursday was a week ago when it happened, Ricky and his mom and his sister stayed by his bedside praying that he'd be better. But he got to go home and be with the Lord this morning, and he's far better, according to Paul. To be with the Lord is far better. But you're going to have something. You're going to have things. Things are going to happen. Things will come. Jesus said that we'll have tribulation. You know what Job said? Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. You're going to have all kind of trouble in your life. But just know it's coming. Just be aware of it. It's just a thing. It's just one of those things. And then again, we think about the word in the New Testament. In the last days, perilous times shall come. You're going to have some perilous things come in your life. You're going to see some of them. We've already seen some of them related to our church family. And because of the end time and the wickedness of the Lord, of the devil, the Bible said that Satan's come down with great wrath because he knows his days are short. And thank God for that. Say amen right there. One of these days, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. Satan is not in charge of hell. He'll be tormented day and night there for eternity, just like all the rest who reject Christ and don't know the Lord. He'll be in prison in a place called hell. But you're going to have things to come in your life. Many of you could look back now already and say to me, I know it, Miss Jennifer, she had a horrific car wreck. That was unexpected, unplanned, and it's been a real trial for them through these years. But you're going to have those things. But Brother Bobby's philosophy was, we're going to have them. You might as well expect it. And every one of us are going to have it. It's just a thing, though. It's just a thing because there's more to this verse than that. There's more to this verse than you're going to have heartache or sorrow or trials in your life. I'd say to you this morning that these trials come to you from different sources. They're going to come at you from every direction just about. Satan is our great enemy and the demons that are aligned with him. And there is satanic powers in this world. And Satan has a desire. If he could not keep you from getting saved, he wants to discourage you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to defile you. He wants to ruin your testimony. And he's going to torment you. The Bible says, the Lord said, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood cleanses us from all sin. He said, I will remember them against you no more. But you know yourself that you've been saved a long time. And every now and then you think about sins of the past. Sometimes you're trying to pray and sometimes you're trying to do something for God. And there's a little voice that said, you know what you are. You know what you've done. You know how wicked you've been. Well, I want to tell you, that's the devil. That's the devil. Christ said, I'm not going to remember your sins anymore. But you're going to have times like that. Things are going to come your way at the hand of Satan. We think about Job. I quoted Job a while ago. And the Satan went before the Lord and said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, I have. He said, you put a hedge around him. Does Job serve thee for naught? And he said, if you'll let me touch him and take all he's got, he'll curse you to your face. I'm paraphrasing. And he said, no, he'll not do that. And he said, you can go, but you can't touch him. What a tragedy. Lost all of his income, lost his livelihood, lost all of his flocks, and even lost all of his children in one day lost it all. But Job said, I'm not going to charge God foolishly because this is just a thing. It's just a thing. This is just one of those things that come and I've got to go through it. It's just a thing. And whenever your diagnosis comes and you've got cancer, you've got this problem or something else happened in your family, I pray God to put it in your heart where you can say this, it's just a thing. It's just a thing. Everybody goes through them. This is one of mine. This is just a thing that I'm going through. Sometimes it comes from Satan. Sometimes it just comes by what we'd call natural causes, or it maybe have to do with the old nature in us. You're living in a cursed world, believe it or not, as pretty as the fields of the Amish country are, Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina, this land's under a curse. Can you imagine what it's going to be like during the millennial reign of Christ when it's put like it ought to be? Man, it'd be speechless. We won't be able to describe it. But you're living in a human body. From the time you were born, you started a process. It's called dying. You went through your infancy to your teen years and middle age, and now you get some gray hair. And I don't care how much you take or how much you go to the doctor, you're still dying. Within 100 years, everybody in this room will be dead somewhere, more than likely. But my dear friend, that's just a thing. That's just a thing. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's just a thing. It may come because of just the nature of our bodies. Brother Eddie Goddard was a preacher friend of ours. If you had the privilege of hearing him over in the old building, you know Brother Eddie was a blessing. Eddie only preached about 15 minutes. He just was a happy person. He was just flat happy all the time. But he had some of the most unique little messages. I mean, they get in your heart, you remember from ever. I remember he preached in the old building one time on making God look good. And that was a blessing. But I remember him telling a story about his aunt. His aunt was in the hospital. She's diagnosed with lung cancer, and the prognosis was not good. She's probably going to die of lung cancer. He went in, and he got beside her, and he was talking to her, and she said, Brother Eddie, why in the world did the Lord put this on me? Why in the world have I got this cancer? He said, Granny, you smoked cigarettes for 70 years. That's why. That's just a natural process. Sometimes you're going to fall down. Sometimes you'll trip and fall. Sometimes it's just part of life. It's just part of things happen. I can't believe this happened to me, somebody said one time when they fell and broke their hip. I can't believe this happened. Well, it does happen, but it's just a thing. It's just a thing. Don't let it defeat you. Don't let it discourage you. It's just a thing. Things are going to come at you because of your natural body and the curse of Adam on you. Sometimes things will happen in our life at the hand of the Lord. Sometimes God will do things in our lives that we don't understand. But God has an intent and a purpose. And everything He does, it may be painful, but it is purposed and it is productive. Everybody is going to have some things in their life. You're going to have them, I'm going to have them. And they're very painful, but they will be productive. Not only is it true that things come to everybody and they come to us from all different angles and all different sources, but they all have different purposes. I believe that everything that God allows to happen in my life, your life, has a purpose in it. He said this, the use of the phrase here, according to the purpose of God. God has a purpose I don't understand and you don't understand. God blessed me and Regina, our first daughter, Christy. And you've heard us tell the story over and over again. But she died just before she's 3 years old. We have a little girl in the auditorium this morning who had hair like our little girl, Christy. And I thought about her. I can't explain to you why God let that happen in our life, but I know one thing, it was good. I remember dealing when the doctors had diagnosed her with leukemia, and we were on the way to Duke Hospital. They suspected that. I went out, it's a long story, but Regina's mother, we took her home and took Regina by the house, and I took Mom out to her house. They'd been with us at the hospital. I went in an old chicken house that Daddy had. I felt like God had been dealing with me about preaching. And I dealt down that day and I said, Lord, I know you're dealing with me about preaching, but if you'll let me live and let Christian live, Lord, I'll love you and serve you and preach for you for the rest of my life. And when I stood up, there's like a cloud around me. And I knelt back down and I said, God, you've been so good to me. I know that you have a purpose in all of this. And whether you choose to allow to live or if you choose to take a home to heaven, I know you're calling me to preach. And Lord, I give my life fully to you. That's a horrible thing to happen. I don't think God did that. I believe I would have surrendered. But I believe the purpose of that in that particular moment was to help me to understand that he was going to take care of Christy one way or the other, that what I had to do was just do what God wanted me to do. You're going to have to come to that place when you understand that everything God allows in your life has a purpose. Sometimes it is for chastening. Sometimes we disobeyed. Sometimes I never have been held by the hand by my mama and her have a long switch in the other hand, and then she go to frailing on me and wonder, why is she doing this? Because we'd already had a talk about what I had just got through doing, I had done previously. She just found out about it. I knew that I was getting a switching because I deserved it and I had done wrong. But God sometimes will give us chastening too. And it help us. It is corrective. It's not to punish us so much as to correct us. And sometimes God will let things happen in your life. You heard the old saying, God will lay you on your back so you'll look up to him in prayer. That's not always true, but it is sometimes God does do things to chasten us. Sometimes he does things to us to cleanse us. Sometimes he does do things to cause us to trust him more. I think of Job. I mentioned Job a while ago, and the verse that I quote so often, and it's because it's real to my life. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what kind of things. It's just a thing. My children all died and this, that, and the other. Now my health's gone from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. It's one sore. But he said, I'm going to trust him though he slay me. And sometimes he let us go through times like that to get us to the place where we'll exercise better faith in him and we'll trust him and we'll love him. And my dear friend, we'll give our whole life to him, yield to him because of it. And that's a wonderful thing when God does that. Sometimes it comes for various reasons, but it always has the same results. It always has the same results in the plan and the of God. And that is this. For everything that comes into your life, if it's a debilitating arthritis like our brother back here on the back rows had and had, I don't know how many surgeries our brother's had back there on his back. And then I watch him from time to time. He can barely get down the aisle. He comes and kneels and prays. I don't know why he's gone through all of that. He's such a gifted man, been such influence. But God does, and whatever happens, it's going to be for good. Not sure why God took some children out of our church, some young couples or a young man or a young woman out of our church. Not sure why we've had some to experience horrific wrecks and major diseases and financial reversals. But I do know the outcome of everything that comes in my life and your life. All things, all of them together, work together for good for us and for God's glory. God's got a plan. It's just a thing. When it comes in your life, unexpected, unplanned, you think maybe undeservedly sometime, I pray God to put it in your heart. It's one of those things. But it's going to have an ultimate result. All things work together for good to them that love the God, for them that love the Lord. I want you to note, it all has the same end, but there are some conditions to it. Notice what it said in this passage of Scripture. And we know that all things work together for good, watch, to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. To love the Lord, and you know you're His child, you can claim this verse. But if you don't know Him and you don't love Him, that doesn't hold true for you. It may utterly end in tragedy. I've read through the Chronicles and the Kings, and the Bible says of this king, and he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And one of the foreign countries would come in and defeat Judah or Israel, either one, and take the king captive or either kill him and all of those things. And I see that as somebody who did not love the Lord or who was called according to His purpose. There's even some in there that said they died and they were never mourned. People didn't even care if they died or not. Here's the condition: that you love the Lord and you know that you're called according to His purpose. What is His purpose in your life? Jesus said, "For this cause came I into the world, that I might give my life a ransom, that you might be saved, that you might know the Lord Jesus Christ." He's not willing that any should perish. And He wants you to know Him as personal Savior of, personal Savior, your own personal Savior. Whatever happens in your life as a believer, I can assure you there's going to be one result. It'll work out for good. May not understand it even down here, but you will when you get to heaven. So how are we to react to these things that come in our life as believers? We ought to trust Him. As I said about Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust Him. I found this verse in the Old Testament. Again, is anything too hard for God? Anything too hard for God? Is there anything God cannot do? He can do any of it, all of it. He may choose to hear you, may not choose not to hear you. I remember somebody saying to a certain fellow who has a ministry and he has some physical disabilities, and somebody was wondering why God don't heal him. They said, "We're going to pray God to heal you." He said, "Please don't do that. It'll ruin my ministry." And he said, "I have a ministry because of this. God used me because of this. I couldn't understand. I can't understand why the thing happened in Fanny Crosby's life like it did. She's just a little young child, hadn't been born very long, and a nurse trying to help her put some sort of eye salve or wash her eyes with something, and she was made completely blind. She's blind all of her life. She wrote thousands of songs. We have them in our hymn book. We sing them for the glory of God. She loved the Lord. She sang, or her songs are sung around the world. And just a little blind girl. Mom and Dad, I'm sure, were just horrified. Didn't know what in the world. Why is this happening to our little girl? And yet God used her in such a way. Somebody said something to her one time, said, "Miss Fanny, we're sorry that you've lived all of your life blind, not been able to see anything." She said, "Don't feel sorry for me." She said, "The first face I'll ever see will be the face of Jesus." Good thing. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. We'll trust Him. Know that He cares for you. Know that He loves you. And keep your eyes on Him. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then Paul would admonish us to focus on the good things. If there's anything of good report, anything, he said, think on those things. Don't dwell on the bad things that are happening to you, but look to the good things and praise God for that. And do this, declare your faith. Declare your faith. Every time you speak your faith, it builds your faith. Did you know that? Bobby Langdon spoke his faith. He may have just come out of a hospital having been in a vat of ice for 5 days. He may have had kidney stones big as a softball. I don't know. But Brother Bobby, here's how he declared his faith. "It's just a thing. It's just a thing." And all these things are going to come upon us, but God's going to work it for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to His purpose. Speak your faith. When people say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about this or that or this. I'm sorry you're going through this." Declare your faith. Tell them it's just a thing. I'll be well one of these days. It may be 6 months, it may be 6 years. It may be when the Lord takes me home. But one of these days, I'll be perfectly whole. There are people in this world who've never walked, but there'll be a day when they walk. They've never seen sunrise or sunset, but they'll see clearly in that day when they get home to be with the Lord. Declare your faith. Point people to Christ. Use the things that come in your life to tell them about Jesus. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Everyone's head bowed in prayer this morning. For our friends in the media audience this morning, I'd say to you, you may be at home today because a thing has happened in your life. You've had a fall, you've had an accident, your health's declined. But I want to just tell you, it's just a thing. It's just a thing. Everybody goes through them. They come from different sources, but they're all going to have the same end for those of us who know the Lord. And if you know the Lord, it's true of you. All things work together for good. Joseph said to his brothers one time, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Things that happen in your life, unexplainable. You know the devil did it or whatever, but they may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God's going to work good out of it. Trust Him. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and declare your faith. It's just a thing. He's been so good to me. Why could I complain? He's given His Son to die for me. Why should I find fault with a God who loved me that much? But you need to know Him. What a sad thing to not know Christ, to go through things by yourself, to know that there's not going to be any good at the end of it for you. That rich man in the Bible, when he died, he lifted up his eyes and he was in hell in torment. It's only going to get worse for you if you don't know Christ. This morning, I beg you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Trust Him now, right now, in the media audience, the internet, the radio, here in this building. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Call on Him. He'll save you. The friends in this building this morning who know Christ, you would speak to those around you and tell them the simple truth. If you'll believe and ask Him, He'll save you. Call on Him. And I'd encourage you right where you're sitting right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on Him. You came in the building this morning experiencing some things. You got phone calls this week, unexpected, unexplainable, and unbearable almost. But it's just a thing. God's going to work it out. Maybe a while, maybe a little bit. But during those days, will you trust Him? Will you be able to testify your faith? That's just a thing. I know God's going to take care of it. I know it's going to be good and for my good and for His glory. You came in here. But don't let the devil beat you down with things. You're going to have them. You're not going to feel good sometime. You're going to feel like giving up and quitting sometime. But it's just a thing. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Trust Him. I'm going to ask you this morning to obey the Holy Ghost. And we don't have any carpet for you to kneel on. If you want to come and stand, if you want to kneel. But if you need to come this morning and say, "Lord, please forgive me. I've had some things in my life that I've fumed about, fussed about, worried about. But it's just a thing. I know You're going to take care of it. And I know good's going to come out of it. God, you take care of all things. You'll meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And one day all sin will be gone, all sickness will be gone, all sorrow will be gone. It's just a thing for right now. But Lord, I know that heaven's coming." Maybe you want to pray to Him like that. Talk to Him. Maybe that you're here this morning and you never trusted Christ. It takes one simple step of faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved right where you're sitting. Call on Him. Ask Him from the depths of your heart to forgive you of your sin and receive Jesus as your Savior today. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray right now God's people would be obedient to You. Lord, we've all had things to come in our life that's disrupted our lives, caused us to be fearful, even terrified. Things unexplained and unbearable. We couldn't handle them in any way. But God, You've brought us through so many things. And Lord, You'll take us through everything that we ever have. And I pray right now, God, the Holy Ghost would turn people's sadness into joy, their worry into rejoicing. And Lord, I pray we could leave here testifying, it's just a thing, but we know the final results is going to be good. Because we have a God who loves us. He gave His Son to die for us, and freely by Him, He'll give us all things. Lord, we're thankful for that. But Lord, my heart is heavy this morning for a man or woman, a boy or girl in this building that doesn't know Jesus. Horrible things, tragic things, trying things, sorrowful things, painful things will happen in their life. But that's just the beginning. Because if they go through life without Christ, those things are nothing compared to weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity in a place called hell. And I pray this morning they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And we'll thank you for what you do.